right, so a couple announcements for you guys this morning. our brothers that went to Kenya, some of you guys are aware, a lot of you are aware, some of you that might not be. Three of our brothers here went to Kenya and to proclaim the gospel and really just teach and share the importance of the doctrine, and with a huge group of pastors there that really wanted to understand how to have the doctrine living in the church and how to have that as the real drive of the church, to know that this doctrine that we have is so precious and so important to everything that we do. And we get to hear all about their trip this past week. They're on their way back now, and a lot of you guys have been praying so faithfully for them, and I'm so excited to hear all the fruit of everything that happened down there. And that will be Saturday at 6 p.m. They're going to have a slideshow and a sharing of all the stuff that happened throughout the week. So that'll be Saturday at 6 p.m., and it's going to be in the lower level. So all are welcome to come and take part in that. The men's weekend is coming up very soon. We have registration forms due next Sunday. It's April 1st by 1 p.m. So, you know, you can drop them off in the lobby. There's registration forms online. So the theme is transformation. Hope to see all the men there. And before we have Nancy Heath come up and teach us God's word this morning, we're going to sing number 5, At Calvary.
This song is an amazing song. It reminds me of my life. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. And then it's, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at his love I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I'm glad we sang that song. It got me a little bit less nervous. Tom asked me to teach, and I'm thankful that he did. And not only am I thankful that he asked me to teach, but I'm thankful for him because, you know, I don't have that responsibility of watching out for the church and caring for it. And so I pray for him a lot. And I'm thankful that he asked me to come up and share God's word with you. He asked me to teach on thankfulness. And, you know, sometimes I'm so thankful that I fall on my knees in thankfulness. And other times I get so caught up in everything that's going on and overwhelmed that I forget. And so this was really a good thing because I was at the point in my life that I needed to remember why I am thankful to God. And, you know, if you did a street survey, if you did a street survey and just asked random people why they're thankful, you know, they'd probably say, for my husband, for my wife, for my children, for my job, for my home, that I have one, that I have food to eat. You know, but the greatest thing to be thankful for in life is the salvation that comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing to be thankful for. You know why? Eternal life. You know, no more is the grave the end. Not only eternal life, but the life that we have now in Christ. We have a whole new nature. And you know, God said that it's like Him. Really? We have Holy Spirit so that we can know and understand God. He's given us His Word. He's given us a family of brothers and sisters who can remind us of what's true in life. That when we do get overwhelmed, that they can help bring us back. You know, we have God's Spirit, we have God's Word, and we have the family of God. And all these things work together to help us remember who we are in Christ. And I wanted to turn, if you would, to Romans. We didn't come into this world as thankful human beings, did we? You know, if you're around any child, you have to teach them to be thankful. You know, you have to teach them, that life isn't just about them. Well, it's kind of the same with us, right? We have to be taught and learn about thankfulness. In Romans chapter 1, I want to start. Katie read part of this last week, and we're going to read it again in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. I'm going to read it from the NIV. It's just easier for me to read. And I'm going to read it through, and then we're going to walk through it a little bit, okay? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since that which may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And, you know, this section is, like, really, really insightful. You know, maybe it's not us anymore, but this wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I wanted to look at these people a little bit who suppress the truth by their wickedness because, face it, we're surrounded by them, right? I mean, people, they say, like, God isn't real, you know? I can do and think whatever I think is right. I decide. You know, I don't need a God to tell me what to do. Or that book, that's archaic. We don't need that anymore. I don't need that to tell me, you know, to let me know what's right or wrong or what I should do or what I shouldn't do. I'm a good person. I help people. I don't need that to tell me how to live. Only the weak create a God so they have a crutch. You ever heard that one? You know, the more you talk to people, they come up with their own philosophies, the things that they think, their excuses, why they don't have to believe what God says. Because our nature is me. Like a child, it's all about me and about what I think and what I want. Well, that's not what God wants for us, and we're going to look at this a little bit because, well, last week, Katie also, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Because the source of all this logic Ephesians chapter 2. And as in verse 1, Hathi Quickened is in italics, and like Katie, I'm not going to read it either. It says, I'm going to bypass that and then say, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin, remember the song we sang, Vanity and Pride? You who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life, our way of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And in this, it talks about a course being laid out. And the God of this world, the God of this world, the devil, Satan, he has laid a course out. You know, it's like the, I don't know, a golf course. There's a certain order. It's not just you go to hole 5 and then go to hole 3. There's an order laid out. There's a course. And the devil has set a course in this world. And people that don't live by God's word are walking on his course. And there's a spiritual battle going on. And the end, the devil, his purpose is to keep his or keep people from God and God's Christ. He doesn't want them to reach that point. He doesn't want salvation for people. He doesn't want deliverance for people. He doesn't want us to live as Christ in this world. He wants to keep us. He wants us to believe lies that are untrue. Even after we've heard truth, he wants to keep us from believing who we are in Christ and our holiness, our righteousness. So these people, these people that suppress the truth by their wickedness, these are the people we want to rescue out of this world. You know, these are the people that we want to have compassion with and realize that they're walking on a course that's set by the devil, and we want to help them and to live a whole new life, a life of Christ. So in this section also, it says that which may be, where am I? Back to verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since that which may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. And like Katie said last week, you know, God, he made these, I don't know, can you make a sun? Can you make a sky? Can you figure out, you know, how to make the green on the ground grow first so that light can get to it before the green on the top trees turn green? You know, can you, have you ever looked up the Hubble telescope images and seen the vast universe and all its, you know, things that we don't see? You know, I guess the world has become more technically advanced, right? And so, like, in the time that the Bible was written, they couldn't see Hubble telescope images. So I guess there's something to be said for technology, because you can Google that thing and just look, and there's stars being formed and gases, and they're brown and blue, and they're just, and there's just some incredible stuff out there. And you know, the deep sea and the submarines that go down way, way deep, and where it's totally dark, and you have these fish that light up and are effervescent, you know. Really? I mean, could you do that? Could you figure out how to, why? You know, it's just, God is just amazing in the glory of what he's given us. And this is just creation, things created in this world. My husband, Ray, and my grandson, Lucas, were watching this nature show. And I had this, I was walking by and I had this lizard. And this lizard was all these pastel colors, you know, blues, greens, pinks, and I was just looking at it. I think I could probably stare at it for an hour and be utterly amazed. So I Googled again, lizards, colorful lizards, and you wouldn't believe how many different kinds, how many different patterns, how many different colors. You know, this is God's creation, just created things. You know, and we're very thankful for him putting us in a world that's pretty. It's not gray, and it's not today. You know, it has color. So verse 21, God made himself known that he is God. He made it plain that there is a God and he is God and you're not. You can't make these things. I can. Although, verse 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, neither gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile or useless, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You know, they didn't acknowledge God for who he is or what he's done. They showed no gratitude to God for what he gave them. And what happens when God isn't acknowledged as God and there is no thankfulness towards him? It says their futile heart, their thinking became futile. Everything that they made up was really useless. It's just a big guess. You know, if you've been there in your life when you didn't really know God and tried to guess at what, you know, God is and who he is and what life's all about, I have. You know, I remember the things I was trying to guess at, and they weren't right. You know, and it says that they their foolish hearts were darkened. Have you ever been in a dark room where you don't know where things are and you have to get through? And, you know, like maybe you're at one of those camps and you're in a room and you don't want to wake them up. And if you don't have light, you kind of bump into things. And that's what these people are, that don't acknowledge God or acknowledge his word or esteem their thoughts and their opinions higher than God's. They're just walking in the dark and they're bumping into things and getting hurt. We don't want to be like that. And we want the people that are like that, we want to rescue and pull out and help. So this section in Romans that addresses man who doesn't deem God worthy and who's not thankful, ask yourself, are they reading this? Are they reading this section in Romans? Probably not, right? We're reading this section in Romans. So why does God put it in there for us? Does it tell us something? Is he teaching us something? You know, he's teaching us, first of all, I think, that we live in this world surrounded by people who suppress the truth, that don't want us to believe who we are in Christ, that want people to not get born again, not have salvation, not know who God is or Christ is or what even Christ paid for. Sin? Sin? Me? You know, I didn't do anything. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for sin, and people need to know, so that they can get rid of their sin, so Jesus Christ can take it away. And another thing is, our default mode is the nature of man. If we're not thinking God's word, then we kind of, a lot of times, revert back to the course of the world that we were trained on, you know, and sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. You know, I know some of the things that you guys go through and are going through. Excuse me. And I know it's not always easy, you know, but this word is the thing that gives us deliverance from the things that we go through. This word is true. It is truth. God gave it to us for a reason. He tells us he understands life. He made us. You know, do you think he knows anything about us or how we think or what we go through in a day? You know, he made life. He made these human bodies. You know, he said that when I go like this, I tell my brain, tells my hand, it moves. He knows everything. He knows how I think. He knows the struggles I go through, and he knows how to deliver me from them. The same with you. You know, God is a mighty, mighty, mighty God, a very wise God, a very compassionate God, a very loving God, a very kind God. There is nothing he wouldn't do for us. So when I look at this section, it tells me the basis for my thankfulness. God, you know, look at him. Look at how stunning his creation is. Look how amazing he is. Look how wise he is. And Ephesians 2 still. This creation that he's made of earth that he gave us to live on and that would sustain us is an amazing work, right? We agreed to that? Pretty darn amazing. Well, there's an even more amazing work, and it's called salvation. is called The Gospel of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And in what he did in us, and in chapter 2 of Ephesians verse 8, it says, oh my God, for by grace are you saved. Oh, you mean grace? You mean like unmerited favor? Like I didn't do anything to deserve? Yeah, right. I did not a thing. Neither did you. Neither did any one of you, and neither could you. You know, because we couldn't. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. When somebody gives you a gift, what do you say? Thank you. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And, you know, you think about this, we are his workmanship. You know, in Ephesians, it's talking about the body of Christ, the church. You know, every born-again believer is the workmanship of God, but it also is talking about individuals that make up this church. We have God's work in us, Christ in us, Holy Spirit, you know, power from on high, that he wanted to give for so long. And that is what he did in us. And it's his workmanship. And we bow before his throne saying thank you, because it's amazing. And, you know, if God said that they, in Romans chapter 1 a little bit earlier, it said that they looked at that and they didn't acknowledge God for the things that he made, do you think, since he really does want them to look at those things and acknowledge what he's made and be thankful, that he doesn't want us as Christians to look at what he's made in us and be thankful? An amazing, amazing work that he's done in us. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to keep our eyes on what he's done for us so that we remember how to be thankful in this life. You know, it can bring us to our knees in thanksgiving when we look at what God's done for us. So we're going to start in Romans with that part, and in chapter 1. I'm going to read NIV, and it says, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel, the good news of God, the gospel he promised beforehand. He promised it a long time ago. And this promise that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, in other words, he wrote about it in the Scriptures, there are prophecies about it. He started with a little bit vague, and then it started getting more specific and more specific until Christ was born. There are prophecies about this Messiah, this plan that he had, this promise he made. The promise beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to call the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. You know, and that's the purpose of this gospel, is obedience of faith. And that means not just believing the word, but that this word that we believe, that we live, like Katie was teaching last week, you know, that we are to the praise of God's glory, that this word is not just a word that we hear. This is a word that we live, that we think, and that influences how we act and influences our words that come out of our mouth. So this gospel God prepared for a really long time. He made life, he made the universe, he made the earth, the sun, the trillions of stars, he made man. He designed earth that would sustain man. Do you think God knows a little bit about life and how it works? I think so. Do you think he knows a little bit more than me or you? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. When he made man, he didn't design man to be on his own. Do you know that? He didn't, didn't say, here, go figure it out. I hope you don't get hurt. You know, not our God. God's the Father, and he loves us, and he takes care of us, and he wants to lead us and guide us and help us. You know, he's given us everything he possibly could to help us. He's given us Holy Spirit. He's given us a faithful word. You know, he's given us each other. He's an amazing God, full of love, and something that we should be incredibly thankful for. And that's where thankfulness comes in. It comes in, it springs from a heart that recognizes how loving and wise and almighty God is. It comes from living according to his ways and his truth and recognizing that our lives are blessed because of it. Amazing God. Romans still in chapter 1 again, in verse 15, switch back to King James. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, this good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you realize that? This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That means this gospel, this good news, how's it given? It's preached, right? It's words. Words given, or you can read it. Words. Words. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It gives life. Words that actually give life. It takes a dead man walking to a person that's full of life and full of Holy Spirit and not going to end up in the grave. You know, I mean, I know our bodies are going to die. We can't inherit, you know, heaven with these mortal bodies. So they are going to die if Christ doesn't come back. But there is life that will be raised to. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in this gospel, this good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This good news preached produces salvation in anyone who believes these words. That's what it does. It produces life. And it's God's powerful words that brings this new life into being within a person. Not only does this gospel give us salvation, but it says that it reveals a righteousness of God. And it's a righteousness that comes from God that's going to be continued to be shown in the book of Romans of what this is. It's a righteousness that we can't earn. You know, God, in his mercy and grace, saw our need to be delivered from sin, and he made this way that Jesus Christ would pay the price, that he'd offer up himself, his own blood, his perfect blood, perfect life. And he said, I will lay my life down for them because I see what you want to do for them. You know, I see this plan that you have laid out from so long ago, and I want to obey you and do that for you. And he did it, and we have salvation. We have a righteousness from God that we could never, ever, ever get on our own. So you remember why we're looking at these things? Yeah, so that our hearts will be thankful. Good. Communicated. How about 2 Timothy? We could just read the whole Bible. You got a few hours? Second Timothy chapter 1. We'll start in verse 8. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay, that's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot. But, you know, the first thing I wanted to point out is In verse 9, it said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You know what that means? That means holy. Me? You? Holy life? Are you kidding me? Who am I? Well, nobody by myself except for Jesus Christ paid for it, right? And what he paid for was to make us holy and righteous before God, that we could stand before a loving heavenly Father and be totally innocent. We can ask from him to help us, to teach us, to lead us, to reveal his purpose and his will in our lives. And he'll do it. You think about the calling that God would want to call us, and it's really pretty amazing when you sit back and just think about it for a minute, you know, because we all live with ourselves, right? We know the things that we think sometimes, and we know where we were, you know, like it talked about in the song, vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. I didn't have a care, you know, until one day these words that somebody spoke just like, whoa! Oh my God, look what he did. You know, look what he gave. You know, and this is what God wants for us. He wants us to know who he is and what he's done, who we are. Keep your fingers there, but turn to a couple pages forward to Titus chapter 3. This is, an amazing, very humbling section. Because the question is, what kind of people did God call, and what kind of people did he make holy? And Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes, it's actually really once, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, that means a ton of different kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Can we say this enough? Can God say it enough? I think we need to remember it enough. But according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh my God. He not only made me righteous, he not only made me holy, but he made us an heir. I looked up the word heir just for fun. And this is what it said. One who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. Okay, so did I deserve that right of sonship? Did I deserve anything that he's given? In Romans 8, it says that we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ inherited, we have. Right? That's amazing. We did nothing to get that. And, you know, you look at the book of Revelation sometime and what Christ is still going to do, you know, and what we inherited with him. And holy, 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 you know, we get new bodies that are immortal. You know, we get to see God in all his glory. We get to see our Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. We get this to live with no unrighteousness around us in any way. Can you imagine that? I can't. I've lived with unrighteousness around me all my life. I can't imagine what it's like to live without it, except for when I'm around you guys sometimes, you know? And even myself sometimes, I catch a glimpse of what righteousness and holiness is and what an amazing time it's going to be when our full redemption is complete. Where were we? In Titus, back to 2 Timothy, please. Second Timothy, chapter 1 again, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And actually, that before the world began is really just a long time ago. He gave it to us a long time ago. And, you know, did God determine who to give it to? God wants everybody, right? Everybody. He's reached out his hands and has invited everybody and said, please come. I want you all. And so, you know, anybody that wants can get this new life, this new life, this plan. God's good news was planned a long time ago. It was to save us, to make us like Christ, to make us holy and righteous. And this is who we are. We're saints. You know, no brag, just truth. No ego, it's just truth. And God wants us to live like this in this world. And sometimes I think about, you know, oh my golly, what I go through in a day sometimes, and I forget who I am, and I don't act like who I am, and I don't talk like who I am until somebody says, hey, or until I get convicted in my own heart, realizing because I see the ugliness. And so we are really saints, and we need to remember who we are and why God called us and the purpose for our lives. Remember in Romans 1 when God talked about those people who didn't honor him as God and neither were thankful? What did they do instead? They considered themselves wiser than God and came up with their own reasonings, and we don't want to do that. We want to live as his holy ones, to think and act according to what he's made us in Christ. And in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter 1:3 it says, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, he tells us about this new life in Christ, and he's revealed all that we need to know about life and what he's given us. We want to look at God and be amazed. We want to acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us and bow ourselves before his throne of mercy and grace. In Colossians, please. In chapter 1, this is like probably one of my very favorite sections because it's so packed and so full and so amazing. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated or placed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, I think I want to sit down. That was a lot. That was a ton. But let's consider some things here. First of all, do you notice in verse 12 that giving thanks unto the Father is in the middle of all this? You know, it's surrounded by what God wants for us, what he wants for our lives, that we would know the purpose of his will in our lives, and that we would understand what he called us to and what he called us to be and who we are in this life, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. You know, walk worthy is equal to, in other words, live as a saint because that's who we are. You know, that's what he wants for our lives. Being fruitful in every good work. And last week, Katie was talking about the fruitfulness of our life, and we've got to be attached to the vine, right? Not on our own. Jesus Christ is the vine, and that's where all the sustenance comes from. And we want to remain in him and not try to do it on our own, like they were talking about in Romans, the self-made, self-important man, you know, that is our our default nature. We want to be stay on the vine. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, that's not a bad thing. We don't want to increase in the knowledge of God for knowledge's sake or to be puffed up, but we want to grow in knowledge of God so that we know who he is, what he's done, who we are, his calling in our life, and we can rescue people from the darkness. Strengthened with all might. unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Okay, that's an amazing part because, you know, Katie also last week, her teaching was just led right into this. And actually, Josh's the week before, he touched on this, the patience and long-suffering. And then Katie brought up that Jesus Christ, you know, looking at Jesus Christ's life in the Gospels and see how he lived with his Father and what he did. And, you know, the patience and long-suffering, you know, like when he wanted to get away and then all those people followed him and then he took care of them and fed them. Just so many times in his life, he had compassion. You know, he saw sin in people, but he looked beyond that sin to the need that the people had. You know, we can be like that too. We don't not see sin. We see sin in our lives or in people's lives. But then do you see the need that's in their lives for the deliverance from that? And that's what how we look at people, with compassion, you know, with long-suffering, with patience, that we can be these people that God called us to be because he put his own nature within us. The likeness of God, it says, we're created in. What an amazing, 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 amazing thing that is. And then it says, giving thanks unto the Father. Yeah, right? Absolutely. And then it says, why? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate, made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He qualified us. You ever watch the Olympics and they had to qualify for their different sports? In other words, they had to meet a standard, right, before they were able to participate? Well, we had to meet a standard in order to participate in the inheritance of the saints in light. And we couldn't meet that standard on our own. Who paid that for us? Yeah. So we have met a standard because God made us one in Christ. And he's delivered us. This is another reason to give thanks unto the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He took us out of the darkness and put us in light. And then it says, and he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He took us from one kingdom and placed us in a whole new kingdom. We still live in this world, but we have a kingdom of spiritual life that we live in. And this new life has a new Lord. And it is not me. You know, you're not your own Lord anymore. We have a Lord, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new ruler, thank God, because the devil is pretty mean and ugly and nasty and hates. We have a Lord who loves and does everything he possibly can to give us what God wanted to give us. We have a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of loving. You know, what did God not give us in this life to take care of us? It's an amazing thing. Colossians chapter 2. Okay, listen to this, because this is direction for your life, okay? I'm going to read it out of home. I'm sorry to do this, but I really, this version is just amazing what it says. Holman Christian Standard Bible in Colossians 2, I'm going to read verse 6 to 10. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. You know, and as you're doing this, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Is that like explode, overload, too much, I can't get it? You know, everything that God was in Christ and is in us. So, you know, talk about manifesting Christ in the world, glorifying God in this world. It's really humbling, isn't it? I mean, it's totally humbling when we think about ourselves and mankind and human beings and frailties and, you know, weaknesses. But yet God had this plan that he figured out. You know, he could figure out these stars and moon and sun and all these things in life and bodies and eyes and, you know, he figured out, and then he figured out this body of Christ. He figured out how we could live in this world holy and righteous. You know, on our knees, right? On our knees. This is God's workmanship in us. His divine nature within us. Holy ones, righteous ones, no merit of our own. His desire, his plan, his purpose, his grace, his gift. You know, I'm going to review now, and I'm going to be done pretty soon. I hope we're not too early, but, you know, God made his eternal power and divine nature evident by the things he created. And we can look at this creation around us and recognize how great he is. We can be thankful for all he's made for us. We can look at this new creation of life within us and recognize how great God is. And we can fall on our knees in thanksgiving for what he's done for us in Christ. Our Lord gave his life to give us spirit life so that we can know our Father and understand life. And this thankfulness is sandwiched in the middle of all that God's done for us. God planned this life for us a long time ago and made the way to it, made the way for it to be a reality. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And just kind of ponder on that next week, you know. It's very humbling, but that's what God did. He put a spirit in us that's just like him. That we can love with, we can have compassion with. We can see people and see what they need. We can see the sin, but see what they need to be delivered from. We can see the sin in our life and say, you don't belong there. You know, that's not who I am. I've been justified. I've been made totally innocent. And we wouldn't be able to do this except God did a mighty work through the obedience of Jesus Christ to make us holy. And when we remember these things, very, very thankful, right? Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
My pleasure.
If you guys want to turn your songbooks to number one, All I Need. Let's do it. wonderful. So let's keep in mind we did end about 15, a little bit more over early. So if you have children, just give them some time, you know. Don't just go bum rushing their doors. Give them a little bit of time to finish what they're doing and their teaching of the word with them, which is great because you have more time to talk to each other about what you're thankful for. And maybe you don't know what to be thankful for. Somebody else can share more about what we learned this morning about our thankfulness in Christ, and that we can carry that with us every day through all eternity. So we love you guys.